I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL at Night.
All right, welcome back to KSL at Night. Marty Carpenter and Taylor Morgan. And Taylor, as we wrap up the show today, I think it's important that we mention that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we have the opportunity to talk a little bit about this on the show. I think it's just a good thing in general. It feels like people are more comfortable talking about mental health and mental health awareness. And one thing I think is really important to point out is that I think very quickly businesses got on board with understanding that the mental health of their workforce is really important. I want to bring in our guest on this, Annie Wilson. She's the general counsel at Ivory Homes, Utah's largest home builder, of course. That's how we know them. But she's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the things that Ivory Homes and other businesses are doing to engage their employees and to focus on their mental health on a more holistic level. So Annie, thanks for taking some time to be with us tonight. We appreciate you being on KSL at Night.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's start with Ivory Homes. Tell us about how your company has become interested in mental health issues for employees and the benefits you've seen from focusing on that.
Sure. I think like most companies, we first really focused on it during the pandemic. That's when it became a critical issue. We wanted to make sure that we were taking care of our people. And we've done it in a few different ways. Really, I think it's important to note one of the awesome things that Ivory did right up front during the pandemic was just a one-time bonus for all employees. I think sometimes corporate wellness gets a little bit of a bad name when it's only, you know, send out an email with mindfulness tips, something like that. Some employees don't feel like, well, that, you
know, that's,
you don't really
we have all
care
seen
about
those,
me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But Ivory really put its money where its mouth is, and during the pandemic did this one-time bonus just acknowledging that people were stressed, people had unexpected expenses, and wanted to do something to relieve that. And that was so well received that we thought, wow, what else can we do to really show our employees that this is an issue that we care about?
How?
And we identified it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, continue, Annie, please.
Sure. I was just going to say we identified a couple of things. One was we got signed up with Blue Novus. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're another awesome Utah company, which is a service. It's an app that provides a call center. You can call into it or text into it for mental health support. And it's not only for employees, but it's for their loved ones as well. They can pass out the code that we pay for to anyone in their family, their roommate, whoever needs that support. So that's been something that's been really great. And then also just facilitating opportunities for employees to interact and build relationships. We find that those interpersonal connections at work do as much as anything to really help people feel connected and supported.
Okay, Annie, here's the question that I was just jumping to ask you. Clearly, you're doing this, and Ivory is doing this, not just because it is all good and wonderful and positive, but clearly, as a for-profit business, there must be some payoff in terms of productivity or profitability. What are you seeing this in terms of positive impacts for the business just on the bottom line?
Right. I think obviously it just makes good business sense. There's no way around it. When your workforce is engaged and they're healthy and they want to be at work and they want to do work for you, they're going to be more productive. You're going to have less sick days. I know there's been a ton of research on this. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but the Utah Chamber, through their nonprofit Utah Community Builders, has done a lot of great work in this area and has done a lot of the work convincing businesses of the business case for workforce resilience through mental health.
Yeah, I think that's the Salt Lake Chamber's Utah Community Builders program, if I understand right.
Yeah.
That's what we're referring to there. So we know that you guys have been engaged on community issues in the past. I understand mental health is an issue that you've looked to address, not just within your own company, but at a community level. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you've engaged with the Chamber's Utah Community Builders and how that's sort of been able to amplify your work there at Ivory.
Yeah, so Clark Ivory and Lisa Eccles head up this initiative, this Workforce Resilience Initiative, through Utah Community Builders. And it started rolling out through the pandemic as this need became so apparent. And there's a couple different resources there. Any business can Google Utah Community Builders and find this information. There's just a general study guide for any company that wants to educate themselves. And then there's also a few industry-specific guides. The construction industry is the second, is the industry with the second leading suicide rate. And so that was one of the industries that the Utah Chamber or the Salt Lake Chamber wanted to focus on. So they brought in industry experts and created this total safety guide that's specific to companies in the construction industry who want to first evaluate their business and then provide tips for how to improve their mental resilience.
It sounds to me like this is a lot, it almost boils down to kind of a common sense thing. One, that the people who work for you are people and that you want to provide for their health coverage or, you know, you want to provide for their health needs on a physical side and on a mental side because it helps that individual be more productive at work. A lot of these initiatives, though, Annie, it sounds like it's a matter of management or leadership at an organization, whether that's a for-profit business or any other type of organization, just being mindful about what their employees are going through and then trying to find ways to help them navigate that because it helps everyone. Is that a good way to sort of sum up what the process is here? It helps the individual and it helps the company by just treating it holistically.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think there's so much value in just talking about it. If a company's maybe not as ready as Ivory has been to invest in it in terms of dollars, just the fact, if you talk about it and break down that stigma, then it's going to give people permission to show up at work as whole people. And absolutely, I think leadership can model that by being vulnerable and starting those conversations.
Yeah. Specific to the construction business, home builders, right, with Ivory Homes, but in construction in general, I read a statistic somewhere, and you tell me if I'm way off base or if this is just one of those things that's only true because I saw it on the internet. But it's something like for every fatality, tragic fatality that would happen on a construction site, that there are something like 5 or 6 suicides that occur with people who are sort of in that area, right, or somehow touched by that particular death. Is that a stat you're familiar with? Is there any way to tell if I'm correct or not with that?
Yes, that comes straight from the total safety guide that we put together with Utah Community Builders. And it's a powerful and sobering statistic, absolutely. I think the construction industry, historically, there's been this macho persona where people aren't talking about feelings, they're not talking about mental health. But that statistic tells us we absolutely need to pay as much attention, if not more, to psychological safety as we have historically to physical safety.
Yeah, definitely. Really quickly, we only have a minute or so left. Annie, tell us about recruitment, retention of your employees. How is this impacting Ivory's ability to hire people?
Well, Ivory has one of the, I would say, more than any other company I've worked with, we already had a pretty amazing retention program where every year we hand out awards when people hit various anniversaries, and it is not unusual for people to hit their 20, 25, 30, 35 anniversary with Ivory Homes. So I don't know that metric we can tie directly to the mental health initiatives we've had over the last couple of years, but it speaks to how much Ivory Homes does care about those people. And then in return, people want to stay and be a part of the Ivory team long term.
All right, Annie, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of insight into the way businesses are stepping up to protect the mental health of their workforce and making sure that, you know, not just are they taking care of them physically by providing healthcare coverage, but they're also doing it by covering mental health and such a great way to go about it. Thanks so much for your insight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Annalise Wilson. She's the general counsel at Ivory Homes talking about their what they've invested into helping mental health among their workforce and then what the work is that they're doing to help the workforce more broadly across the state. All really great stuff. I think it's generally been received as a positive thing, maybe unanimously positive, that we start to treat people as whole beings and not just, hey, you're only a problem if you've hurt your hand versus if you've hurt your mind.
Sure, definitely. And certainly in their industry, it sounds like it's vital. Yeah. To their employees. Yeah. So, well, Marty, great show tonight. Glad
great to
have
out.
You here in studio. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure that you listen again to KSL at Night tomorrow. Your hosts will be Derek Brown and Leah Murray. Thanks again for listening, and look forward to having you join tomorrow.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.